You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sasson Securities. Given the fact there's a long weekend coming up, and it's been a short week anyway, David, quite a few things coming out. Glencore trading statement, MTN Ghana coming out with its results, quite an important part of MTN's business, its African business. Karoo, which is a company that has five O's in the name, which is extraordinary. You've got Pepcor, you've got Coronation Managers as well coming out with their trading statements and numbers respectively. And also the two pill pushers, your favourite Dis-Chem, and also Click. Start with Dis-Chem. What did you think?
They're maturing. I like them. I like where they're going. I still think they've got a lot of. What I like about Dis-Chem is that when you go into a Dis-Chem store, admittedly, they're not as many as Clicks, because Clicks you'll find in virtually every center that exists in South Africa, whereas they're not that many Dis-Chem. But in Dis-Chem, you generally find that they're packed. You know, you can find what you want. Their shelves are packed, and you've got a far greater choice than a Clicks. I think Clicks is my fallback store. You know, by choice, I would go to Dis-Chem just simply because of the offering that they have. But listen, both are very good businesses, both well run, and certainly you can see it from the very high multiples at which they're trading at. But you know, in this environment, they're doing okay. You know, they're like the food they're like the grocers.
Yes.
You have to buy food, but I think this is also beauty never seems to come back, which is Clicks, and you know, old people standing in line for their prescriptions also is a big money spinner for something like Dis-Chem as well.
And you buy supplements, don't you? Because you're a fitness fanatic.
I don't buy those that make me big muscles, but I do buy my Barocca there.
What's Barocca?
My Barocca. Barocca, that's my booster in the morning.
It's like a that fizzy thing.
A fuzzy one.
Is it like a fizzy vitamin? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I always have one before I go running. I don't know what's in there.
No, you see, that's the point.
They're not making me run faster, though, but they do make me run.
Do you ever get, just on this note, and we're going off at a tangent here as it's a long weekend coming up, and do you ever go for alternative stuff, David? I mean, certain types of tea, and it's not a very good example. The tea example is not a good one. Yeah. But do you ever go for something that is not in a nicely packaged container that has been made by some giant corporation? Do you ever go for anything different? No, you don't.
No, I don't. The only thing that I go different, I found it at Woolworths. It was a green juice. and I thought, okay, this looks healthy. I think it's got pears and apples and spinach.
You mean it's a fruit drink?
I think they're sweet. Yeah, but they sweeten it, so I don't know how genuine it is. But it doesn't taste bad. And it's fine. I mean, that's about as far as I go off the I like my coffee. I mean, don't have many cups a day, maybe one or two. But and tea, I just like good old Twinings. English breakfast?
English breakfast tea. Yeah, it's very good. You can't beat it. I drink Yorkshire tea in the morning, quite honestly. So you and Linda don't have a juicer, and you don't put in loads of fruit and vegetables and get your day going like that. Linda, being your wife, of course.
No. I eat healthy though. I like fresh salads and fresh vegetables. I don't eat spices chilies and all of that. So my diet is very bland. I'm a very boring eater, but I mean, that's about it. I don't go for supplements.
Okay, so that's Dis-Chem.
That's why I look like I look, and I don't look like one of those chaps who stand in the aisles of Dis-Chem, you know, that you can't get past and you're scared to knock him with your trolley. You know?
you're a fine figure of a man, David Shapiro. So if you had to choose between one of the two pill peddlers, it would be Dis-Chem over Clicks, despite the fact they are completely different companies in terms of size.
Yes. And I think Dis-Chem are doing fine. I think, you know, they started off slowly. They've still got to roll out a lot of the smaller stores, I think, which was a big promise, which is a bit slow at that, but it might be picking up pace as well. So, just get a greater reach. But, credit to them, credit to a slow start when they listed, but looking much better now.
What about Pepcor on the same theme, retailer? Pepco's had a checkered history over the last few years. It came out with a trading statement for the 6 months ended 31st of March. The share price doing very little. On my delayed screen, down about a third of a percent. Is this one that you look at?
Yeah. It's always a good business. I think the bottom end of the market. You know, Lindsay, there's just one of the arguments we're having at the moment is a lot of the stores in search for growth are now kind of breaking away from their traditional markets. You know, Fashini going down market to Jet. I'm trying to think, Mr. Price going up market to Studio 88. I'm just giving examples. So wherever we go, some of the apparel retailers are changing direction, trying to spread across greater income groups. Yes. Pepco, you know who they are. That's what I like about them. We know who they are. You know, they have no pretenses. So I think it's a good business.
They know their market, in other words. They give you good value and you know who's going to be coming in there on a Saturday morning, and they don't need to change. It's like, a classic example of a retailer changing its profile is ShopRite Checkers going, you know, from lower to middle income market to certain stores that are very, very upmarket in order to try and take away from Woolies, for example. That's a great example of a South African retailer who has changed successfully, but Pepco's just stuck to its knitting, as they say.
I like it. I think it's a very good, very good group. Sure. Look, they've had a rough time. I mean, they had a rough time with their association with Steinhoff.
Quite right.
But they put their heads down, got through all the issues, because there were always worries about where their shares, you know, in whose hands the shares would land because of the problems over Steinhoff. But they're okay now. You know, I still think they're a very good group.
What else have we got?
Yeah, so you know, if you want those little black shoes that schoolboys wear in the little grey, I always think of Pepco in that. That it might be that
school outfitters,
school outfitters, you know, that is them. Yeah, you know. Okay. I don't think I've ever bought anything from Pepco, but I still like this, you know, I still like the stores.
Good. Glencore, the commodity stocks seem to have recovered some of their composure after a really tough time. How about Karoo? I don't know much about Karoo. Please tell me about it.
Now, Karoo is it's a very it's gone offshore.
Yes,
mainly into Singapore. It provides software that monitors the performance of drivers of trucks. You know, it's a very good product that you install in your motor cars, and you're able to monitor how people drive and it's important, you know, to see how the chaps who are delivering your goods and that. Perform on the roads and that. So it's a very decent company, done well and adding people all the time. They still mainly in South Africa. I think that's their main market, but they have relocated to Singapore and they've listed on NASDAQ. It's a worry for me. You know, I've seen so many businesses because you're too small for NASDAQ. You know what I mean? You don't really get the reach that you think you're going to get. We saw it with NetOne. We see it with a lot of businesses there. They might be large here or reasonable here, but I think once they're off to other markets, it's very, very hard to kind of get. There's so much competition in those markets. So Zach Callisto is highly rated. I like to give people like him the benefit of the doubt. So I'm not judging him yet.
What were they called before? What were they called before? Because they had an office, a shabby office in Cartrack, yes. Rather a shabby looking office on Jan Smuts in Rosebank, didn't they?
Yes.
Maybe they still have. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Zach Callisto is a clever fellow.
Very, very. They are. You know, there are a lot of little businesses. And I was talking to you beforehand. I said, you know, we saw TCP, which was Transaction Capital. We've seen Renogen, we've seen, you know, Zach Callisto with Cartrack, which is now Karoo. So there's some really decent businesses that are around. But I think you've got to give them time to see whether they can actually reach the kind of growth that investors expect. It might take them some time, and you know, might take a few years. I always, as I say, you know, when NetOne went offshore, and what's the other one? DataTech as well. Mm. We never really saw anything happen there. You know, nothing for years and years. They've remained without any major kind of breakthroughs. I'm not saying they haven't grown, they haven't done decently, but certainly not the kind of growth that we expected. So, you know, we'll see. It's very early days for Karoo. Very, you know, it's still early days. You've got to give time. They're still too reliant on the South African market for my liking. I thought we'd start to get more coming out of, you know, more out of the offshore, but maybe I'm a little too impatient. But anyway, share price holding. It's done.
But if they've got exposure on the NASDAQ, if they've got exposure on the NASDAQ, surely their product, I mean, it's a massive market. I mean, look at the haulage industry in the United States of America. No. Surely they must have made some inroads there, and that's the reason they're on the NASDAQ.
They listed there. They're making their market of choice is Singapore, around about that area. That's where they want to make. So it's more there than I think the US. Oh. Listen, unfortunately, you're testing me on a company that I kind of just watch from, you know, from the sidelines. One's got to go to someone like Chris Logan, who knows a lot more about it and probably give you a far better and more positive, assessment than me. But I like to read company. I mean, they come out. I like to keep up and say, okay. I store a little bit in my mind and, you know, keep year from year kind of say, okay, is it worth going in? Like Transaction Capital took a long time before, you know, we turned positive on it. And I still think it's a superb business up to now.
Okay. Well, you can't know everything, David. You can't know every company, although your universe is shrinking on the JSE. But, of course, you do have a substantial holding overseas. Okay, let's have a look at some spot prices now, because this is a game changer. It doesn't matter what you say about, when we said this before, the Chinese currency is not the world's reserve currency. And you can, you can pay for as much gas as you like or not like in rubles, but it's the US dollar that is the king and will be for decades to come, I believe. The US dollar against the, rand, the dollar rand is now 16.07, which is a really, really big move. It's a big move in the last month or so. And it is so impactful.
Week, yes. Lindsay, last Monday it was 14.65.
Yeah, now 16.07. When you sit down and do that, I mean, I talk to Wayne quite a lot about this, and he's actually very good. They have a model at his at FNB Wealth and Investment where they say, well, the rand is undervalued or overvalued, and this is the mean, and this is the difference between the US inflation number and the South African inflation figures and everything. And he comes out with some quite good stuff, and he has been saying that it's been overvalued recently, and that commodities might have a bit of a wobble, and a bit of a wobble was a gross understatement. So I don't know. Do you sit down and say, well, the rand is doing this, so therefore I'm just going to carry on and get as much money overseas as possible, or does it not factor in?
Now, the rand does factor in. I don't. To try and read the rand is virtually impossible, but I mean, underneath, fundamentally, it's a weak currency, you know, because you just have to look at the economy to know it's a weak economy. There was some hope that the miners would pick up, you know, that mining would pick up and just give us a little bit more support. But you know, this exposes how weak the rand is. I don't know where the money came in. I think there was a period where maybe our shares were being bought by foreigners because of the Russian situation, as people kind of downgraded Russia and picked up on South Africa. It might have been as a result of that. But I mean, the speed at which it does deteriorate and does fall, you know, never gives you a chance to kind of, you know, think about it. But I have to say something on Wayne as well, because Wayne is fundamentally a commodity man, you know. I mean, he knows those markets well. I don't want to classify him as that, but he knows the commodity markets. And while we were getting quite not ultra bullish, but while we were fairly positive on where commodities he were going, he was saying, hold on a sec,
yes,
the cycle's come to an end. We've seen the end of the
cycle. He did. He said that. He was slightly too early.
He did.
He was slightly too early, but I think if you look back in 5 years' time, you could say, okay, he got it wrong for the first 3 to 6 months or something. But long term, I think that he may be proved right. I hope not for South Africa's sake. Mm. And talking about South Africa again and the weakness of the rand, and that's linked to the economy. I don't know if you ever met Wesley, my friend and colleague in Cape Town at the when I was at the radio station. But he went to Johannesburg. He's a Cape Town lad. And he went to Johannesburg to see a couple of old friends because he was educated there. And he said he could not believe the potholes. He said he could not believe what he was seeing. He said, you drive around Cape Town. He says, Cape Town is paradise compared to what's happening in Johannesburg. Yeah. He said they couldn't. There was certain, I think it was one road in some area that they were going to, that they couldn't even drive down because there are potholes the size of Ukrainian bomb craters. It's unbelievable, David.
You know what's also happened? Is that we've had exceptional rainfalls this summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking almost coastal-type storms here, although you don't get cyclones or tornadoes or anything like that. And I think the massive amount of water that has accumulated has kind of just, you know, weakened, sorry, the foundation of these, gone into cracks. But that's all as a result of no maintenance plan. You know, there hasn't been any maintenance. So when you suddenly get something like this, the roads just wash away. But I promise you, Lindsay, my biggest fear, and I know this sounds crazy, but I run very early in the morning, and as winter comes on, so it's dark, you know, when I go.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. The one thing I do not do, I only run in the middle of the road on well-lit roads because the roads have just been swept away. And when you're running in the dark, you know, or kind of the early dawn where there's no real light, you do immense damage to yourself, you know, if you're running at not a pace or even a reasonable pace, because you just don't see those little holes in the road and they're forming all over the place. And driving as well, you've got to be so careful. I mean, seriously careful. And the one thing we're not in South Africa is careful. You know, our drivers are aggressive as anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tailgate all the time. They don't leave any distance. And this country is just, it's mad, you know, the roads. So for someone coming from, you know, I'm surprised Cape Town, but if you come from Australia or America and you drive on our roads, you know, I would never let someone who's never been on our roads drive by themselves. So just hold it a sec. Come with me for a bit before you go for a drive here. Because the unexpected always happens. You know, you must always expect the unexpected.
Yeah, that was a horrible story of that cyclist who was quite famous Johannesburg cyclist who was killed in an accident with a minibus taxi. It was about a year ago, and it's a sort of a haunting story because you just don't know. It was so awful. David, I think it's time for you to get a running machine. Sorry, before you go on. I think it's time for you to get a running machine. Put it next to the window. Open the window. Have your Barocca. drink your green juice and your coffee and just do that. I don't want you dying. Not yet anyway.
You know the biggest menaces are at the moment. All the Uber Eats drivers or all those deliveries, they're becoming the menaces now. And it's not only in South Africa. I see the same thing in New York or, in America. The same thing. They don't obey any laws. They owe nothing. Nothing. You know, the taxis may pause at a red robot, you know, might not go through the red robot. They might just pause in case, you know, but I mean, they still go through it. But the chaps on their bicycles and on their mopeds now, the motorcycles now, nothing gets in their way.
No.
So they become a bigger menace. So you know, when you run in the morning, boy, just, you know, don't put those things in your ear to listen to music. And you got to be like a trooper on, like a soldier on patrol. You got to be very careful.
Just talking about New York and the drivers. I mean, I know yellow cabs are an iconic part of New York metropolitan life, but I can remember going with going on a trip from Central Park, where I'd just done a documentary, to the Upper East Side to go to this quite trendy brewery to have a few beers and stuff with my interviewee. And we got into this cab, and this chap's a Jewish fellow. We got into the cab. He's resident in Canada. And this chap, I think he was Pakistani. He was very friendly, very hospitable and everything, but he didn't use one foot, you know, because the cabs are automatic. So you use the accelerator, and then when you take your foot off the accelerator, you depress the brake. He used 2 feet. And he would mount.
One on the brake and one on the.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And I mean, if he was smaller, he could have been a Formula One driver. He was mounting pavements. He was overtaking people. And at the end, I quite enjoyed it. I must admit, even though my life was threatened, the bloke next to me actually was physically ill because of it. He was so nervous. Anyway, we're digressing. Dollar rand 1605 British pound against the rand. 1999. The rand is partying. The pound is partying like it's 1999 because that's where it is against the rand. The euro rand 1689. The euro dollar is 105.25. This dollar is incredible. It's 1.1% up against the single European currency. Europe is in big trouble, David. Maybe we'll speak to that about that. British pound has broken 125. The cable is 124.55 at the moment. The commodities suffering because of the stronger US dollar. Gold price at 1887, down 0.6%. Not that bad, but it's still mired below 1900. Platinum is down 9 to 905. And palladium is $2,221 an ounce, which is just very slightly better. If we look at crude oil, well, it's up 1 and a bit percent at $106.50 for Brent crude oil. West Texas crude is $103.70, which is doing better. It's up 1.7%. But the natural gas price is still just above 7, but still down 4.4% on the day. But all over the place, there's a big shift between natural gas and crude oil going on. And I don't know where the arbitrage is there, or who's doing it, or why they're doing it, whether it's just punters. I'm not sure. But anyway, natural gas down 4.4%. US 10-year bond yield, 2.865%. 5%, the South African 10-year bond yield. Ouch. This has got to be a no-brainer. It's above 10% now. A South African 10-year bond yields 10.015%, David. You're not a bond investor. I know that. But if you were, you'd look at it, wouldn't you?
I've been looking at it for a long time, and I still think it's very good value. Mm. Yes, we've taken a little bit of a knock, but not the kind of knock that you can't make up somewhere down the line. I think a lot has to do with the position of the rand as well, money flowing out of emerging markets. Although it's been fairly steady, but I think it's got to be attractive at those kind of levels. Really, I'm with you.
It has to be. Unfortunately, you have to manage the rand. You have to manage the rand exposure, and that's not cheap in South Africa, unfortunately. S&P 500 futures, they've had a horrible week, but have bounced back today by 0.8%, 4,214. You'll give me the live Wall Street in a moment, but let's have a look at the movers on the JSE on my screen, and you can get your favourites up and down today. I've got here David Shapiro. They all seem to be diggers on the upside. Tungela up 10 and a third percent. African Rainbow Minerals up 5.6%. CAP is not a digger, but it's anyway. It's up 5.6%. BHP up 5.5%. And South 32 is 5.3% higher on the downside. You mentioned Steinhoff before when we were talking about Pepcor. That share price is down 10.7%. Something happening there. Hammerson down 2 and a third. TFG, the old Fashini, down 1.9%. PSG Consult down 1.8%. And Truist, another retailer, down 1.6%. Any other stocks apart from the ones we've already mentioned that
One today.
Yeah.
Hoskin, HCI, up 34%.
Why? Is someone taking them out?
No, they found an oil find, I think, off the coast of... Where's it? I don't know where on the East Coast or wherever it is. In fact, they've only have a 10% stake, but why this has gone up 10%, I'm not quite sure. There's no statement out. This was
You said it was up 30%.
34%.
But I thought it was a financial services. I thought it was a financial services company.
No, HCI have got. I think there might have been an article this morning. I just noticed it now because a lot of it has been more associated with their exposure to Togo, you know, to the hospitality sector. But they have had this. And to be fair, I think this might be a little exaggerated, unless they're going to get rid of it, because I think it takes a long time when you find these massive gas fields, you know, before you can actually tap the gas. So I don't know whether the market's running ahead of itself, but that seems to be the story.
Don't they have an obligation, if the story is true, don't they have an obligation to put out a stock exchange news service announcement?
I could have been out yesterday, Lindsay.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'm a little behind the curve on this one. You know, it didn't strike me that it was something I had to look at that carefully, but obviously I was a bit wrong because today it's pretty strong. Let me see the news here. I'll give you the news if you bear with me for a second, if my computer works. So I saw this, but I half read it. Do you know what I mean? You know those stories that you half kind of read. So naturally, there's something there. Now, Pitfalun likes this one. So HCI shares leap on news of Namibian offshore oil field. Shares of this was 21 hours ago, 4 hours ago. HCI shoots up 44% on oil field news. Shares in BE company ACI extended gains on Thursday with a price surging on the second. Yeah, I don't know. So that's why, you know, why it's gone up 44%. I don't know, you know, for a 10% stake that they have, I don't know. You're going to have to ask the experts in that. But there is a story around this.
Okay.
The worry with me is that there have been so many gas finds off Mozambique, off Mossel Bay, you know, wherever you know, there's plenty of gas off South Africa. There's plenty of gas in South Africa as well, but from a different source. But, I mean, to be honest, Lindsay, it takes a long time for these. The scope of the field was reported by the Norwegian publication Upstream, which suggested that the source located 290 kilometers off the coast was the biggest discovery of its kind today. It's believed to also contain more than 10 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. There you are.
That's a lot. Especially for a small company like ACI. I mean, I said that rather glibly because I don't know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I can see what you're saying. And obviously the market in thin conditions in a not very highly traded stock has reacted. Yeah. David, I need the closing JSE indices, please.
We closed up 1.81%. This is all share index at 71,535. And all the running came from the miners. So your resource 10 was up 3.6%, but generally very good gains. Lindsay, I have to say, if you've got to do when you get the rand at 1605 and was 1580, I like to compare the arbitrage. You know, in other words, what they're trading here and what they're trading in London. And in fact, if you look in London, some of the gains are not quite as strong as ours. So you know, the rand has given us some kind of support on that. You know, on those stocks. So in fact, if I look at Glencore, it's trading down in London at the moment. Steinhoff Process, Anglo's, AB InBev, all of these are trading down with the exception of BHP, which is up 0.3%. But on the local market, you've got, you know, the translation from that price into pounds at the current rate, I think, has given us a bit of a boost. So there is a differential there. Anyway. What I am saying is that mine has got a boost from the rand.
Okay. The two all shares, the top 40 and the overall index?
Top 40 up 1.92% at 64552. Then the other, apart from that, you know, look, there were broad gains right across the board.
Yeah.
If I look at the top 50 to 80 stocks, a lot more gainers than losers. Certainly.
Good.
On the losers, you've mentioned some of the losers, but nothing dramatic. And the ones and the gainers are the ones that you mentioned. You know, it's Glencore, South 32, Billiton, mainly around that.
And value traded, please.
Yeah, modest. Call that 21.3. Nice Burst Process, Anglers, Discovery, the big traders.
And that's not bad, considering.
Considering
a long weekend coming up. And on that note, we won't be speaking on Monday for Shapiro World. Maybe we do. Well, I think Nick will be back on Tuesday. Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, you and I will definitely chat on Tuesday. Have a lovely long weekend, David. Mind the potholes. And do consider the exercise bicycle, because there's a lot of there's a lot of Peloton stuff on the internet at the moment at knockdown prices. David Shapiro is from Saxon Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.